Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, once again to the FootballDieHards.com podcast. I am Skip Lacombe, guiding you through another week of the offseason, but there's still plenty of stuff to talk about, so let's not waste any time. Joining me once again, like he usually does, Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDieHards.com. Bob, how's it going?
It's going great, Skip. How you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. Another Friday, so looking forward to the weekend. See if I can get some rest. But lots of football news going on again. Lots of trades. Lots of people getting in trouble. And the big story, obviously, Terrell Owens. Looks like he's not going to be a Cowboy next year.
Yeah. They pulled the trigger on that thing. It's a little bit of a surprise. It was certainly the timing. My prediction on previous shows was that that he would remain a Cowboy. Looking at the fact that he cost them $9 million against the Cats to get rid of him. Apparently, chemistry does matter in Dallas. Jerry Jones, basically said that, the attitude and the off-field stuff weren't the issues, that it was a strategic move. One could say they're, trying to get younger. One could say they're trying to make life a little easier for Tony Romo. Certainly, my suspicion is they made it harder for Tony Romo. He's got a lot on his shoulders now. But however you spin it, Jerry Jones spent about 2 months trying to figure out a way to keep T.O. Everyone he talked to told him it was a bad idea, and now T.O. is free to find himself a new employer, and the Cowboys are free to move forward. And we'll see. A lot of people are going to find out what was going on there. You look over the history, and obviously that's the problem with Terrell Owens. He comes with this huge, lengthy history, starting in San Francisco, moving to Philadelphia, brief stop in Baltimore where he worked his way out of that deal and didn't make any friends there. And, as you look at his prospects going forward, a lot of his past actions are coming back to haunt him. I know Drew Rosenhaus is saying today, his agent, that several teams are interested and that the deal is imminent. Well, this is the same Drew Rosenhaus that sat at the NFL draft pretending to talk on the phone to get someone to pick Willis McGahee. So, take everything he says with a grain of salt. But by that same token, I think now we're up to like 29 teams or 30 teams have come out and said they aren't interested. Hey, take those comments with the same grain of salt you take with Rosenhaus. Because obviously, nobody wants to play their hand out, let anyone see what they're thinking. And maybe nothing plays out, immediately, but over time, things will play out, and there will be a place for T.O. It's just a matter of where and when and how much he gets.
Yeah, and Terrell's agent is clearly saying, too, that there are offers out there. It's just going to be a matter of time before one gets finalized. That's clearly agent speak being agent speak. But it's been a long time, or at least I can't remember another time when there's been a player who's been out there, a free agent, who has an ability out there and has a place possibly, where so many teams have just come out and outright said not interested. Like you said, depending on whose account you take, anywhere between 27 and 30 teams have said absolutely not. So
yeah,
kind of surprising there.
If you go by ESPN's count, it's like 30, I believe. I think my last count was it was closer to the high 20s. And, I think most interesting is, some of the teams that have, the Raiders came out today and said definitively no, we're not, which was, everyone's favorite, the easy pick for a landing spot, the troubled older veteran coming out and, being available. But you look at that situation, what is Terrell Owens, what's his issue? What's been his biggest problem? He doesn't get along with quarterbacks who can't get him the ball. Well, I'm not saying Jamarcus Russell isn't a good quarterback. I'm just saying he's not good. Not good. Not good enough for Terrell. That's the problem. And I think every team is going to look at this and say, is the risk worth the reward? Is what we're bringing into the locker room, whether he behaves himself or not, every word he says, every action he takes, every look he gives somebody on the sidelines, is going to become that day's conversation in the locker room. And every day, somebody is going to be answering questions about Terrell Owens. And I think in Dallas, that was one of the big issues, And the other problem with Terrell Owens, if you view it as a problem, is he's a charismatic leader. He goes into a locker room and he gets half that locker room is on his side wherever he goes. I mean, even against Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia, there was plenty of guys who were on T.O.'s side in that whole situation. So, that's the other issue you look at. Well, golly, do you really want that guy in there who's capable of dividing your locker room, which was maybe previously harmonious? Do you want to take the chance? And what is the return you get for taking that risk? And that's where people are starting to come down. And, I was surprised when Sean Payton, coach of the Saints, came out with a pretty definitive statement. He's explosive, but he's second in the league in dropped passes, and a lot of those came at critical moments. And are you really getting, you know, last season was his lowest stats for a while, still pretty good by any definition, but, you know, not T.O.-like. So there's the big thing, risk versus reward. And there's plenty of places he's burned his bridge. I mean, you know, the Ravens could use a receiver, but Jim Harbaugh was in Philadelphia during the T.O. thing, and when T.O. got traded there afterwards in his biography, he had some pretty derogatory things to say about Ozzie Newsome. Well, then how about Minnesota, who was in the market for a wide receiver? Well, by golly, Brad Childress was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia that T.O. quit talking to and essentially came out and said, I don't talk to him anymore. So, you know, the tentacle spread. What about Seattle? Well, they just signed T.J. Housmanzada, but even if they hadn't, does Greg Knapp want to face T.O. on the sidelines again after that berating diatribe he took in San Francisco? And those tentacles spread out, and coaches talk to one another. And so, I mean, I think, you know, if you're looking for a situation where T.O. can get somewhere and do a one-year thing, it's going to need to be on a good team with a really good quarterback and a strong coach. And I think, you know, automatically you think New England. And I think, you know, I think that's a bit of a reach. I think one of those guys at a time. But, hey, they have proven capable of bringing in guys perceived as malcontents and helping them get on the right track. And Randy Moss, you look at that. I think that's not very likely. Tennessee's been mentioned, but they seem to be less interested. And really, would T.O. want to go there, given that they're a run-first team? You know, Randy Moss is a great number. A lot of his problems in Oakland came with Kerry Collins at quarterback, and so you have to question that. Other teams needing receivers, Chicago has a pretty strong need. I'm not sure that Lovie Smith is the kind of guy that wants to introduce that element into his locker room. Look at Indianapolis. That seems to me, you know, you have a very strong quarterback who can get the ball down the field. You got a first-year coach, but a long-time assistant. Maybe that's the kind of situation where Terrell Owens could go in and not destroy it in a year. You know, get that 1 year in, make a strong push, and maybe that's all he's got in him. We'll see. But remember, last time he was available, two teams were after him: Denver and Dallas. Only one of them was offering money up front. So that kind of tells you, even back then, the interest was not that great, and so you have to wonder, after everything that went on in Dallas, just how fast teams are going to be to jump on that wagon.
Is Terrell going to be able to find a team?
He'll find a team, whether it's in the next week, as Drew Rosenhaus would like us to believe, or in July or August when somebody's number one receiver goes down. To me, that seems like the best chance for him to at least get some good money would be to wait until somebody gets hurt and, you know, find a team that's desperate at that point. I don't think, you know, if I was a team and I wanted Terrell Owens, would I want him around all off season so everyone could talk and things could begin festering before they have to? Bring him in later. Don't let the trouble, you know, put off starting the trouble until you have to start the trouble. So he'll find a team. He'll play somewhere this year and maybe even be a solid contributor. But, the big concern is, when you leave him in a locker room for a little while, I mean, every locker room he's been in, it has ended in not a good way.
Well, and it's kind of similar to almost the Manny Ramirez angle in baseball, where, I mean, it's likely that he'll probably get a one-year deal and really have to prove himself once again that he can be a part of a team, he can be productive, and then he can also keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, I think, and he can't. He can't do the latter. He can't keep his mouth shut. He is not capable of that. So that's something teams will take into account, and I do think the rest of it, though, is true. I mean, he's going to get a chance to go somewhere, and maybe that's all he's good for with any one team is 1 year. Maybe a team that feels like it's on the cusp, that one missing ingredient is a solid veteran receiver, but the diminishing skills, and they are diminishing. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's not a frontline receiver anymore. I'm just saying he's not the Terrell Owens of 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And that's, you know, there's one of the issues. I mean, it's that risk versus reward, and it's getting the balance is much closer than it ever has been. And I think, you know, Dallas shows. I mean, Jerry Jones did not want to get rid of Terrell Owens. I'm quite sure he felt he had to get rid of Terrell Owens.
Well, I think, too, this is probably coming a little bit of Jerry Jones wanting to clean house. I mean, getting rid of Pac-Man earlier in the offseason, it really seems like he is heeding the advice of some of the people around him to kind of get some of these cancers out of the locking room and try to build more of a productive team that's more team-oriented.
Yeah, and, you know, and his excuses, you know, I mean, his reasons, I say excuses, that's kind of mean to me, but his reasoning, you know, was, you know, hey, it was a strategic move, and if you're looking, they want to get younger. They don't have a shortage of playmakers. I mean, you know, Tony Romo can make plays. Jason Witten can make plays. Roy Williams is a capable playmaker, and well, he'll need to step up. But Patrick Creighton can be a number two, but they also like Miles Austin, who had huge averages. I mean, if you look back when he's been healthy, which has not been often enough for them, but, I mean, he's averaged 23.2 yards a catch and scored 3 touchdowns on 13 catches last season. So, you know, they like him. And Sam Hurd, he's been kind of bubbling under the surface. And don't rule out guys like Felix Jones, you know, can make an impact on that offense. And, you know, so they have guys that they feel are capable of making plays. And I think that's part of it. And the debate was, okay, we've got – this is not working out for Tony Romo. And it wasn't. I mean, I don't think it worked out for the whole offense. Obviously, Jason Garrett, you know, the reports this week coming out of Dallas, you know, you start getting a little more of the background on some of these things, was that Terrell had actually told offensive coordinator Jason Garrett he didn't respect him anymore. And pretty much when Garrett didn't get the job in St. Louis, his head coach came back to Dallas, that kind of sealed the deal, because how can you have a player who openly says he doesn't respect his coach, you know, playing for that coach, and you know it's going to be a problem every week. So that's kind of where they stood, and I think it's the wise move, but it certainly puts pressure on Tony Romo. I mean, this is now Tony Romo's deal. He's got to make good on this opportunity. And even Sam Hurd, you watch Sam Hurd on ESPN, you know, saying, hey, well, maybe Tony won't have to look for Terrell Owens every play. And I mean, and Sam Hurd has nothing against Terrell Owens, but that is the fact that was something that played into every snap was, boy, am I going to, you know, if I don't throw it to T.O., are we going to the sidelines and getting in a big old fight? And so, you know, it will have an impact. And I think Roy Williams is a capable number one receiver. And given the whole offseason and a summer to work with the offense, I think he'll do just fine for him.
Speaking of Roy Williams, safety Roy Williams was also released earlier this week. Where is this really going to leave Dallas in the coming months with all these changes going on? Who are they talking to? Where are they looking at? And who's going to fill some of these holes?
You know, I think on defense, you know, they've got a lot of holes. They've gone out and they've signed some guys. I'm not sure, you know, Roy Williams is the kind of, you know, the defender they really needed. I mean, obviously their pass defense was the weakness, and he was part of that. So they'll look to shore that up. But, you know, adding guys like Keith Brookings, losing Chris Canty, you know, I think their defense, they've got a long ways to go and a lot of work to do there. And I'm not sure they can get it all done in one season. You know, they lost the coordinator, lost some players, moved in some new guys that maybe, you know, questionable. They just signed another guy today from the Chargers, Igor Lashansky. And so, you know, they're trying to bring some guys in. I think that's going to be a little bit more of a rebuilding process. They're definitely, and this is good news kind of for fantasy owners, is they're going to lean heavily on that offense, and they're going to need to put up a lot of points.
Well, and the good news for Dallas fans, too, is it seems like Jerry Jones has finally taken a listen to some of the people around him and making changes that are good for the organization, not just good for Jerry himself.
And, yeah, and only because he had to, though. I really do believe that, you know, he likes T.O. He thinks, you know, he's one of those owners who thinks he can make it work with anyone, and I think maybe he's learned some valuable lessons the last year or two with some of the fellas he's brought in and some of the problems they've created. Let's hope so, and, hey, Dallas fans can hope so. I know some of the Dallas fans I speak to seem to be quite pleased with the change. You know, I think one thing we have to remember about all the changes that come on these teams is we see it from the outside. The people who are there see it every day. They're living with it every day. And when they make a move like this, you know, as easy as it is for us to second guess and stuff, you know, it's usually based on some pretty good information, probably better information than we have.
Yeah, they typically know what they're doing. You made a mention of it earlier. The biggest name in the NFL, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, is now a Seahawk. Talk about that.
It's the longest name.
The longest name.
Hey, you know, I think it was a pretty solid move for them. I mean, it gives them Deion Branch, and with Nate Burleson, they have a solid top three receivers. The key for them is to keep Matt Hasselbeck healthy. I think they'll be a little more of a run-first team this year. You know, going back to – if you look back to the Falcons offense when Jim Mora was the head coach in Atlanta and Greg Knapp was the coach, and they were the, you know, they led the league in rushing. They're going to be a run-first team, but that doesn't mean they can't throw effectively. And bringing in a guy like Houshmandzadeh, he's got a really solid possession guy. I think it's a good move. The key is keeping Matt Hasselbeck healthy. And even Houshmandzadeh, you know, as he went around on his little free agent campaign and it came to the end, I mean, one of his top criteria was who has the best quarterback. And, you know, he had visited the Vikings, and, you know, obviously they came up a little short in that department. And Seattle wins out. But the key is, and Houshmandzadeh said it, is when he's healthy, Matt Hasselbeck's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and that's true. But he's been taking a beating the last 2 years. They need to take a look at that offensive line and get it shored up in short order.
Kurt Warner actually finally made his deal with Arizona too. Looks like after talking with San Francisco, he went back to Arizona, signed a $23 million deal. Is he going to be locked up for a couple years there, you think, or is this probably his final contract?
Yeah, this is going to be his last 2 years. But you know, the way the contract is structured, it looks like it will be the full 2 years because he got enough of a guarantee in the second year that it's hard to just kick him loose. And that was his concern all along. I don't think you know he was as much worried about the annual payout or you know the total amount. I think he wanted some guarantees that he would get the 2 years and get a chance to at least earn a good portion of the second year. I think 80-some percent of this contract is guaranteed. That's pretty darn good. And pretty bad news for one Matt Leinart, who you can expect to start hearing the Matt Leinart wants out talk to start bubbling to the surface any time. Because, honestly, you know, he doesn't want to sit on the bench for 2 years, and I'd be surprised if he was okay with that. Or, you know, I mean, you know, you wouldn't expect him to be okay with that. And that doesn't mean he'll move on, but it does mean that he faces 2 years of watching Kurt Warner, as long as Kurt Warner stays healthy. And nothing is guaranteed in this league.
Yeah, lots of teams could certainly use the use that arm. Do you think that Kurt might kind of serve as a mentoring role and really build the future for the Arizona quarterback?
You know, ideally, I think that would be the case because I mean, I think if you look at Leinart the last few years, you know, since he's come there, I mean, the big knock against him has been his maturity. Has he been focused enough? Is he paying enough attention to the playbook or more attention to the beer bong? You know, those kind of things. Spend a lot of time in the hot tub with the hotties and less time in the film room with the studies. And so, you know, if he can turn some of that around, and you know, this can go two ways. I mean, if you're sitting here and you're facing, oh, wow, 2 more years of nothing, does that intensify you? Does that make you work harder? Does that make you give you that, you know, increase your drive? Or does it make you say, well, I got a year to take off before I have to get serious about this? So, I mean, there's some big questions for Leinart, and he needs to, you know, showing a little maturity and taking advantage of the mentoring. You know, it's something, the same thing that we saw with Vince Young last year in Tennessee. Kerry Collins takes over as a starter and, you know, was willing to serve as a mentor, and Vince Young just really wasn't that interested. And if you watch games, the Titans games last year, you see Vince Young on the sidelines while Chris Sims and Kerry Collins are talking to coaches. Vince Young's sitting off by himself. I mean, you know, when you see that kind of thing, you have to wonder. And obviously, Kerry Collins now back in Tennessee for another year. Vince Young is saying he's going to work harder and does want his starting job back. But you know, based on the evidence we saw on the sidelines last year, maybe Vince Young watched some film. Maybe he saw what he was doing and saw what he wasn't doing more correctly, and he's changed too. But that's what these young guys need to realize. I mean, the opportunity will come. They, you know, their draft status and their salary at some point ensures the opportunity will come if they're patient and they don't push. If they don't push it until then, I mean, that usually what happens is they force their way out or something, and they get thrown into a lousier situation. You know, they have to realize the situation they're in may not be that bad if they can just be patient. You know, do you want to get traded to Detroit? Well, probably not.
You are listening to the FootballDiehards.com podcast. Bob Harris is a senior editor. Another quarterback-related drama. Jay Cutler is still a little upset about how things were handled over the past couple of weeks in Denver.
Yeah,
they'll be able to kiss and make up?
A perfect case of be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some problems with this one, and I'll come out right up front and say I'm a huge fan of Jay Cutler on the field. But his attitude and his maturity level, I think, have been an issue all along. And when we look at this deal, he got very mad that he was getting traded. Well, if you believe Sports Illustrated's Peter King, and I do, this is something that he asked for. And if that's the case, I mean, you know, if the best case is that all this caught him by surprise and he's naive and he got mad and he spoke out and he's just naive. The worst case is he knew all this was coming and he spoke out and tried to make his team look bad in order to force their hand even further. And what Peter King
reported, both of those scenarios are bad, basically.
Yeah, one is only slightly worse than the other or slightly better than the other, you know, and that's the problem. I think in the end, you know, when your first reaction to any adversity is going and screaming to the media that you're mad and you're shocked and you're upset, as he has done more than once, you know, just since Mike Shanahan was fired, and then they let the offensive coordinator go, and that's supposedly when he asked for his trade. And then he gets very upset when, oh, shocked, they're trading me. Well, supposedly you asked for one. So in the NFL, everyone should know that the teams are going to try to better their position, and you have to get used to your what you could control in that situation, which is not where you end up, but what you do where you end up. And Cutler seems to have some serious problems dealing with some of the business aspects of this. And frankly, the Broncos need him right now. I mean, they've got a new staff coming in. They got a lot of new personnel coming in. Brandon Marshall's in trouble again. He was arrested. Charges were dropped, but the commissioner's going to visit it. And the commissioner told him last year when he got in trouble, he was suspended 3 games. It was reduced to 1. The commissioner said, you get any more trouble, and I see you again, it's going to be bad. And so a lot of people are expecting a pretty serious suspension for him. Tony Scheffler's on the trading block. Maybe doesn't fit into that offensive scheme. They've got a batch of new halfbacks. They need Cutler there, and they need his mind on the game. And I think in the end, you know, they're supposed to meet early this coming week, and everything will be fine eventually. I just think it's a troubling trend when your quarterback's first reaction to adversity is to cry out in as public a manner as he can and express his dismay. That's just not a good sign of leadership.
Yeah, I feel at this point it seems like Cutler may have almost thought he was too big for his britches and thought that he kind of had the legacy or the power or the gall to come out and actually say things that people would listen. I think most people looked at him and said, well, you're good, but you're not that good.
Yeah, and I think you really hit the nail on the head there. I mean, it's just he needs to come to grips with, you know, yes, is he a franchise quarterback? Yes. Has he won a playoff game yet? No, he has not. You know, so there's two sides to the coin. He is pretty darn good, but he hasn't been so good that he's not expendable. He's 17-20 for his career, no playoff appearances since 2006, and you know, kind of known as a moody guy. So, you know, he's got to realize who he is and what he is, and maybe that will better help him adjust his strategies going forward.
More quarterback moves. Another perennial backup, Matt Cassel, appears to be the guy in Kansas City. How long term do you think this is going to be for Kansas City and Cassel?
I think the big question is this the Matt Cassel we saw last year, or is this Scott Mitchell moving from Miami to Detroit? And you know, that's the comparison people draw. And if, for those of you younger folks out there, back in the 90s, Scott Mitchell came in and filled in for Dan Marino and had a great year, and then moved on and was never able to duplicate that success. Again, we go back to my belief that the people who are around guys every day know the most about him. Scott Pioli was around, the Chiefs' new GM. He was around Matt Cassel every day as vice president of personnel in New England. He helped bring him there. He saw his development. I think when you're around a guy, it's the same thing we saw, you know, Green Bay last year. Everyone was shocked when Brett Favre was let go. But you know, the staff and the people there saw every day what Aaron Rodgers was doing. They knew what they had. So I think this is a similar case. I'm going to give Scott Pioli the benefit of the doubt. And what we saw from Castle last year wasn't just that he came in and he filled in. He came in and he improved every week. And he progressed every week. They were able to give him more of the offense every week. And I thought those were really encouraging signs. So I'm going to look at all that and assume Pioli knows what he's doing based on what we've seen in New England and say Cassel should be a pretty decent quarterback for quite some time.
Tampa Bay made a lot of moves last week with Brooks and Dunn. They finally have kind of revealed a little bit about some of the people that are going to be joining them next year. Derek Ward leaves the Giants and joins the Bucks. How much is that going to make an impact on the Bucks and the Giants?
I think it's going to be big for the Bucks. You know, the way they're spinning it right now is that he's going to be, you know, he's going to share with Ernest Graham, and I think he will to some degree. But I think you might see a little more Clifton Smith, and I think you might see Ward taking a little more of a lead role. I think, as some people have pointed out there locally, this is the first big move for the new regime there, and I think when you sign this big guy, I mean, you've invested a lot of money in him. First, he makes more money than Ernest Graham, and second, he's your big get, your first big get as a GM and a head coach, and you know, as a new administration in there. I think there you're going to see them. They really have a need to see Derek Ward succeed. And hey, Derek Ward is not a little bitty guy. So you know, he's 228 pounds. He has strength and speed. So he is capable of handling a pretty big role, and I think you'll see a fair amount of him on the field. In the Giants' case, I think, you know, Brandon Jones is going to be the man, but I think they like Ahmad Bradshaw. I think he's a great compliment, and I also think Danny Ware is a guy you might see bubbling up, you know, and get that three-headed monster going again there too. So don't be surprised about that. But Brandon Jacobs, if he's healthy, I think he's in line for a very big year this year, and I do hope he's a little healthier. I'd like to see him play the full 16 games. And you know, put in his three quarters of work and let Bradshaw and maybe Ware pick up the rest. I think he can be quite a force in the NFL.
Tom Brady's also going to have a new target next year, that and wide receiver Greg Lewis from Philadelphia. Do you think he's going to make a pretty big impact for Brady?
I would not think a huge impact, but, you know, look at the past number three receivers. And, you know, they lost Jabbar Gaffney to Denver, and I think if you look, that's probably the role they're targeting him for. And he can be productive. He can be a scoring threat, certainly. Never did that well, never lived up to his potential with the Eagles, but that may have had as much to do with just the general offense and the focus of the offense being more on Brian Westbrook and the shorter passing game. So I'm not gonna say Lewis can't get it done. And I think anyone who goes to New England, I mean, that just automatically increases your chances. You look at Wes Welker, you know, and the change there. You look at Randy Moss. Hey, receivers tend to thrive. So, you know, he can certainly outperform what he did in Philadelphia, I think, as a Patriot.
Well, yeah, it seems like a lot of people have been saying, too, that Greg Lewis was kind of underutilized in Philadelphia with some other bigger names there. Hasn't really had the opportunity to spread his wings, really.
I would agree with that.
All right, it looks like LT still got some LT news. He still is remaining optimistic about his chances of signing a deal with San Diego, but looks like his mom came out and is not so optimistic, saying that the Chargers are offering him crumbs.
Crumbs, damn it, crumbs. Can you
just
imagine
crumb.
That? That $6 million crumb. Hey, I was pretty optimistic about something getting done up until about the last week or so. It sounds to me, from the people that cover the team closely, that the Chargers have made their best offer, and it sounds like it's going to be a little less than what they're going to have to pay Darren Sproles as their franchise free agent, the $6.6 million. And I don't think Tomlinson wants to do that, and I think that's what his mom means by crumbs. And, you know, even though Tomlinson's saying he's optimistic, I think the people closest to the team are getting less optimistic. And I even heard from San Diego Union Tribune, the beat writer there, Kevin Acey, tonight said that he thinks if LT does come back, it'll just be for 1 year and then he'll move on. And he's getting less optimistic. And he was one of the big, you know, he's been a pretty big proponent that LT was coming back up until tonight. First time I heard him say that he wasn't optimistic. So maybe LT's mom is her thoughts are contagious and she's bringing us all down.
Well, and it seems to, it's kind of interesting at this point, because, I mean, and Tomlinson clearly thinks he's worth more than the Chargers do at this point, which, and you can kind of see both people's angles. LT is coming out saying, well, you know, I've been one of the premier backs over the past 3 years, but he's been steadily declining over the past 3 years, too, which is why you'd understand why San Diego would be hesitant to offer him a large multi-million dollar deal.
Well, yeah, he certainly thinks he's worth more than Darren Sproles, and I think that's, you know, a pretty good, he has a pretty good argument. But again, you know, the NFL is not a business of sentiment, and that's especially the case in San Diego. Again, I keep looking at, you know, I keep saying it, but the GM, A.J. Smith, is a very pragmatic, hard-nosed guy. And when you fire a head coach who went 14-2 because he couldn't win in the playoffs, as he did with Marty Schottenheimer, I'm pretty sure that the running back who can't perform in the playoffs the last 2 years is on thin ice, too. So he needs to take the pay cut to stay. And if he's not willing, and if he has a problem, even if it's understandable, not, you know, making as much as Darren Sproles, I don't think sentiment is going to keep him there.
Well, I'd like to ask which team would be happy to have an LT, but there's probably 31 other teams that wouldn't mind having him on the roster.
You know, I think that's a fact, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. If he gets available, Al Davis's ears are going to prick right up. Even though he has a full stable, LT has killed the Raiders. And just to keep him away from the field, he might try to bust a move on him. But you're right, every team in the league would be somewhat interested. But, you know, we've seen this before. You see the Sean Alexanders. I mean, and a lot of people are like, wow, he still has something. Certainly he thought he had something left in the tank, and it turns out they didn't. And, again, the people who watch these guys the closest, the people that will work with them every day, they tend to see this a little bit before the rest of us. So, hey, LT still has something left in the tank, but he doesn't, you know, he's not the same LT. Just like T.O. isn't the same T.O. we know from before, LT is, you know, he's a 30-year-old back and coming off two seasons in which he's been slowed by injuries. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So if LT can remain healthy and be a contriving part to a team, well, that would certainly be good. Do you really think, though, that he would want to slight his old team and go to the Raiders? I mean, that would instantly take you from being one of the premier players, one of the most favorite players from San Diego, and kind of spit in all the fans' faces.
Where did Brett Favre want to play?
Very good point. Speaking of Brett Favre, he is still retired, right?
Yeah, he is still retired, but hurt feelings, when decisions are driven by hurt feelings, boy, crazy things happen. You got to love it, and that's what makes some of this so darn exciting. And I do think LT would like to go, just like I think Mike Shanahan ultimately would like to coach for a team where he plays Denver twice a year. I think these people are competitive people, and if you stick it to them, their first thought is to stick it back.
Do want to quickly mention, too, Deuce McAllister's dealership down in New Orleans filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy earlier this week, too. Looks like him losing his job there is going to affect him a little bit more. Is he going to be able to find a home and maybe get himself out of trouble?
I don't know if he's going to make enough to get himself out of trouble, but he does need a payday, and as soon as his knee heals up, I think he'll get a chance, but he's not going to be that. It's not going to be the big money, and I think for guys in the car dealership business, it's probably going to be a rough couple years, so...
Very good, Bob. Well, lots of football stuff going on. The season and the soap opera that is NFL offseason is continuing. Anything else we need to hit on?
No, I think we're good. I think, everyone hit back, and we're keeping up with all the movement and everything on the news and views section of the site, as always. Got the weekly notebook going up, putting up articles of interest. Got the message board going to get in on the conversation. I think we're all having plenty of fun.
Very good. Well, Bob Harris is a senior editor with FootballDiehards.com. That's, of course, your source for everything fantasy football related. We'll see you again next Friday. Until then, have a great week.